Hey guys, we are in part one of the book, The Problem with Sunday. You made it through the intro. Good job. Most people never make it through the intro, or they just skip the intro, but I hope my intro was worth reading. Let's go on to chapter one. Chapter one, reality check. Reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. Albert Einstein. You, worship leader, or worship pastor, or music minister, whatever your title, you face a unique challenge. Your Sunday work, the planning, the scheduling, the communication, the preparation, the last-minute cancellations, the stage setup, the rehearsal, the sound check, the service, the teardown and cleanup, all that happens every single week. Over and over, Sunday arrives every 7 days with alarming regularity. And as soon as one service is in the can, you gotta start working on another. Also, the most significant part of your job performance is judged on a 20-minute set of music once a week. The quality depends on volunteers, all of which are a mixed bag of talent, experience, commitment, and maturity. Also, your job is critiqued by 100, 200, 700, 1500, or however many people attend your church, and every single one of them has opinions about what worship and church music should sound like. Those opinions are typically based on watching celebrity services online. You know, the churches whose weekly production costs exceed your annual ministry budget. Heck, maybe even your entire church's annual budget. Few, if no one, can do what you do. Regardless, some are willing to share their opinions freely through notes or post-service comments. After you get through Sunday, you know your work will be dissected and picked apart in the Tuesday staff meeting. Meanwhile, you're already knee-deep in getting ready for this coming Sunday. Over and over goes this wash, rinse, repeat pattern of churning out worship services. And amid those recurring weekly demands, you know that making Sunday special isn't just accomplished with planning and rehearsals. To maintain and improve Sunday standards, you have to somehow get that team of volunteers to sound better, look better, and love better. By the way, we're going to get into those three ideas later. And this is not easy. You're dealing with a mixed bag of volunteer musicians. Most are extremely busy, and they like to remind you just how busy they are. They also demonstrate various levels of commitment, and it's rarely the level you desire. Some are untrained in critical areas of musicianship or technical skills. Some are newer and still need to get up to speed. They're a bit of an anchor for you, but you love their enthusiasm. Some are older and stuck in their ways. They're also an anchor, but without the enthusiasm. Besides their vastly different skill, commitment, and maturity levels, you also have to deal with varying personality types. Some are amiable and go along to get along. Some are task-oriented. They just want to get down to business and go home. Some are direct and assertive. You feel like they might be challenging your authority. And some just want to make every rehearsal and soundcheck a party with themselves at the center of attention. By the way, you probably thought of somebody on your team with every single one of those. And that always makes leading a ministry fun, right? Having all those different kinds of people. All right, back to the text. Hey, and the tension doesn't stop there. You're not just a worship leader, the person responsible for planning and leading Sunday. You're a worship ministry leader. Now, let me stop here. I've got a footnote here that says there are a few lucky leaders, usually in larger churches, who get to focus most of their attention on just making Sunday amazing. All the administrative work and team development is somebody else's job. If you're reading this book, that's probably not your situation, right? Am I right? Probably not. It'd be great to have that gig, but most of us never will have that gig or get a chance to. Where was I? You are a worship ministry leader. You run a complex organization staffed with volunteers who you need to develop musically, technically, relationally, and even spiritually. To lead this team and successfully produce Sunday services, you are responsible for running or overseeing several structures, processes, and systems that keep the ministry running. Scheduling, service planning, music distribution, song management, rehearsal and sound checks, tech and production, team communications, team member development, leadership development, new team member acquisition. And that's just in the area of worship ministry. If a smaller or medium-sized church employs you, you may wear other leadership hats like student ministry or small groups or video and graphic design or marketing or family and children's ministry or even outreach. And then there's that pesky little line in your job description, and any other responsibilities deemed necessary by the senior pastor. Oh yeah, and I forgot to mention, each year, two major holidays will demand unreasonable expectations for high production and extra services to impress people who only come to church twice every 12 months. Am I getting close to describing your situation? You are in the worship leader crazy cycle. The crazy cycle. Most worship leaders get stuck in this cycle by focusing on the urgent work to get through Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Because of that, they only dabble in the non-urgent work of developing their team members, growing leaders, and building healthy ministry structures and processes. And inside this crazy cycle are four sub-cycles that make this problem even more complex. Let's talk about those. First, the exhausted cycle. After too long of primarily focusing on Sunday demands, worship leaders realize they're doing it all by themselves. They haven't equipped the other leaders or core team members to help carry out the work of ministry. That lack of help and support compounds week after week, month after month, year after year, until one day they hit a wall. Now, this exhausted cycle is sneaky. I'm going to leave that one in just for you guys. All right, who got this? Who are listening to the audiobook? All right, now, let me say that again. Now, this exhausted cycle is sneaky. You can go round and round and round on it for years at various levels of fatigue and avoid a full tilt burnout. But even the low levels of exhaustion keep you from investing the time and energy into developing your worship ministry for the long term. And rest assured, if you stay in this cycle, you'll one day experience the soul-crushing exhaustion of burnout. Maybe not soon, but someday. The next one is the enabling cycle. Because of Sunday demands and too little focus on development, worship leaders enable their team members to stay at low levels of semi-committed and self-focused behavior. This self-focused and semi-committed behavior might include showing up late, last-minute call-offs, no showing for rehearsal, not practicing enough, and entitlement or other attitude issues. And all this frustrating behavior makes your job even harder. But when the urgent demands of Sunday are breathing down your neck, it's easier to just let that stuff slide than try to tackle the root cause of it. Next is the entrenched cycle. The crazy cycle makes you feel like you can't get out of it because Sunday requires so much time and focus. It feels like you can never take enough time away from Sunday work to develop your worship ministry for the long term. Or if you did invest that time, the quality of Sunday would drop and your job would be on the line. You feel stuck. And finally, we have the erosive cycle. There's a continual erosion going on in your ministry. Because you have to spend so much time on maintaining your Sunday service standards, your team's spiritual and relational health often erodes and deteriorates. The semi-committed and self-focused behavior isn't just an issue with a few people. It becomes a part of your team's culture. Preparation isn't a priority. Team members act entitled and get territorial about their position and parts. Gossip, sarcasm, and other corrosive language are allowed to go unchecked. And those pursuing spiritual growth and demonstrating maturity are really the outliers in your team, and they're finding themselves more and more repelled by your team's culture. The worship leader in this erosive cycle risks losing good people, which would then further deteriorate the culture. Where are you? You might not yet be in a place where you see or feel all the effects of the crazy cycle, but if you've been leading worship for more than a couple years, you're probably starting to experience some of the tension. I want to help you with the crazy cycle before it wreaks havoc on you, your family, and your worship team. On the other hand, you might be feeling every bit of that endless crazy cycle. And because of those demands of Sunday after Sunday, you don't see a way out of this anytime soon. In fact, buying this book might have been a last-ditch effort before you give it all up and go deliver packages for Amazon. Now, you may or may not be considering a career switch to a last mile driver, but if you're feeling entrenched and exhausted, I want to help you break free from this cycle of death by ministry. Why do we do this? Because of the complex nature of leading a church worship and music program, it's no wonder that most leaders default to focusing on this Sunday and next Sunday. Unfortunately, this leaves little time for their team's long-term development and other ministry improvements. Whether they're volunteer, part-time, or full-time, it doesn't matter. Most worship leaders fall into that vicious cycle of Sunday-driven management. And because of that, any growth or improvement for the team is accidental. Or it may come at the expense of overtime hours, for which the leader is rarely ever compensated financially. Now, I've painted a bleak picture, and someone from the outside might ask, why would anyone want to do this job? But it's because we love it, right? We were all drawn to worship leadership by one or more of these things. Worshiping God through music, leading others in the worship experience, making music with other people, creating and planning meaningful set lists, writing or arranging worship music, shepherding and loving people, developing and leading a team, and more. And if you're still at a place where the I love it stuff outweighs the I just gotta do it stuff, that's awesome. My goal is to help you build your worship ministry so that you can continually lead into your strengths and passion. And I'll help you develop systems, processes, and people to enable you to lead the areas that aren't in your wheelhouse. Now, if the never-ending Sunday cycle has worn you down and the joy of the I love it stuff just doesn't offset the drudgery of the I just gotta do this stuff, take courage. I've been there and I want to help you. So please keep reading. I'll walk with you on a path to recover your passion for leading your worship team and growing your ministry in a way that's life-giving once again for you. Are you feeling stuck? If you feel stuck and you've lost some of your love for ministry, schedule an exceptional Sunday assessment. During this call, you and a coach will talk about the goals that you have for your team and yourself, where you're at right now, and what might be holding you back from reaching your goals. Even if you decide it's not the right time or the best fit to work with my team, you'll get a tremendous amount of clarity and value from this call. There's no cost for you for this session, and you can schedule it here. worshipteamcoach.com/book-ESA. So that's worshipteamcoach.com/book-ESA.